This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Woman's Hour. I'm Andrea Catherwood. You may well be bringing up your children to speak two languages or even more. And if you're lucky, you'll have plenty of resources and family and friends around you who speak those languages. But what if you're trying to bring up your kids to be multilingual when you are the only person from your background living in the area and your language isn't even taught in schools? Well, two women who are coping with these challenges are Mercy Haruna, who is presenter of podcast Parentland, and Bimi Simi, who is founder of Culture Tree. And we'll explain a little bit about what that is in just a moment. They're both in the studio with me now. Welcome, both of you. Mercy, you're from a Nigerian background and you speak Igala as well as English.
Correct.
And you grew up speaking that, right?
Yes. It's
both of the languages. Now, you've got two small children, I think. And At what point did you decide that you wanted them to grow up speaking both those languages?
Well, I didn't have to decide English,
of
clearly.
Of course. Well, you live in Kent,
yes,
so that's
exactly.
A given, right?
And with Igala, it's just something that I wanted them to do because it's the language that I speak with my family in Nigeria. Yeah, it's the heritage.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, I think most people would understand that, you know, you want your kids to speak essentially your mother tongue, right?
Yes.
Bimi, you're also Nigerian, and you actually grew up speaking a different Nigerian language. Did you always assume that your kids would speak it as well?
No, I didn't, because we live in London, so I knew that there would be a challenge to get them to speak Yoruba, which is the language that I speak. It's a West African language from Nigeria. So I always knew that being in London, it would be a challenge to do that. And that's why I set up Culture Tree.
So tell me a little bit about it, because, of course, you know, in order for your child to grow up speaking that language, you need to be speaking Yoruba at home, I guess,
exactly.
All the time.
Yeah.
How hard is that to do?
The challenge is that, as you said previously, that there isn't, you're not in an environment where it's spoken. So as for me, it's a case of I'm the only person, my husband and I are the only people who my child will learn Yoruba from. So I need to create an environment where she hears other people speaking that language. And a lot of parents have the same issue with trying to pass on a language that they themselves don't actually speak. So what you find is in London, a lot of second generation Nigerians weren't encouraged or weren't taught to speak Yoruba. So growing up, they didn't speak it themselves.
Mercy, is a lot of this, because I know this a lot amongst quite a lot of friends of mine who've come from different places.
Yeah.
So your parents arrived, say, from Pakistan or from China or from
Nigeria.
And they had a desire for you to fit in, right? They sort of thought the best thing they could do for their kids was not teach them the language of their background. Is that still a problem?
I think it's still a problem. I think more and more, though, people are realising that teaching their children these languages will keep them rooted and connected to their heritage. And so it's changing slowly. But, yeah, it's still an issue, I believe.
Bimi, you took a really proactive approach.
Yeah.
Tell us what you did.
I set up Culture Tree. So what I did for my younger child is I started doing animations. So we did Yoruba nursery rhymes and we put those on YouTube. And it was
really, did you find that they weren't there already?
No, they weren't. That's why I set up, because I looked for resources and content to teach my child and I couldn't find any content. And that's where we started doing the nursery rhymes and we started doing stories and then we set up the classes as well for parents. I was just echoing what Mercy said. There is a change and a shift. A lot of parents do want their kids to speak their mother tongue and have that connection to their roots. Because there is a thing about identity as well. You have, even though you're British, you are, you know, Nigerian as well. And it's not just about the language, it's about the food, the way we dress, the way we show respect to elders, different things that you can identify to show who you are, really.
Now, you live, Mercy, in Kent, as I said, as opposed to living in London, which at least has got, on, you know, it's so multicultural. There's people in London who can speak almost every language. I'm sure if you can have access to them and find them. A little bit more difficult where you are. How hard have you found it to actually get your kids to speak a Gala all the time?
Honestly, it's been really difficult. Yeah. And I think for me, the harder... why it's harder is because my partner doesn't speak the language. And so it's literally just me speaking by myself. And I find it very unnatural to just speak the language alone. Mm-hmm. So we do try to speak with my parents on FaceTime and things like that. But it's not enough to get them to master.
And your parents
language.
Aren't here.
No, they're in Nigeria.
No, because a lot of people say that the very best way to get their kids to speak...
Yes.
Another language though, is actually the grandparents.
Absolutely. You know, that's if you've how
got
I
a,
learned
exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If you've got a German granny who doesn't speak any English and you're really forced want to speak to your grandmother, you know, you've got to learn, don't you?
Yeah. That's how I learned Igala as well. I mean, my mom was speaking English and Igala simultaneously, but then my grandma would come over and she'd spend a lot of time with us and she didn't speak a word of English. So I had no choice but to learn. But they don't have that. My kids don't have that now. And I'm finding it actually very hard to speak as much as I thought I would. It's just not coming as naturally as I thought it would, and so unfortunately they're not benefiting as much as I would love them to.
And I suppose some people do wonder or worry that if they're being taught, if they're kind of immersed in another language at home, that they will have problems perhaps when they go to school speaking English. That just doesn't happen, right?
No, it's a misconception. Uh-huh. I mean, the child's brain is like amazing. It's a sponge. Yeah. You can learn, I don't remember exactly how many languages, but a child definitely has the capacity to learn more languages than two. So it won't be an issue if at home they're speaking one language and they're everywhere else they're speaking English. They'll have it. They'll have English. Mm.
And schools,
or not,
schools do actively actually promote that now. Before, it used to be in the past where they will tell you that you shouldn't like mix the languages, but now schools actively promote you being bilingual at home.
Yeah, I think that was ignorance. They just don't know, didn't know.
Yeah, but I mean, do you think that there was a thing? I mean, another thing that perhaps it's a myth, so I'm just going to put it out there and you can tell me, is that when children are growing up speaking one or two or more languages, they actually start to speak later. Is that another myth?
No, that's not true at all.
Right.
That's not true at all. Okay. And it's actually been proven as well that that's not true.
Yeah. So I'm just going to read out an email that we've had in here. It is from Tamara, who says, my children were brought up bilingual with Spanish and English. My son's children are now trilingual as his wife is Chinese. Yeah. The children speak Mandarin at home with their mother and amongst themselves and Spanish to their dad. And at school and with me, it's English. And she says that their reading and writing are excellent, well above average. Yeah. And she feels that there's an advantage in having more than one language. Well, of course there is.
Because when you think about it, you're using like a lot of your brain. We don't really use... a lot of our brain, but when you're speaking a different language to somebody else and you have to like have the intuition to speak to another person in a different language, you're actually very intelligent to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And are you struggling, Mercy, you were talking about the fact that it's very difficult at home. Do you feel like, oh God, maybe I should just give up? I mean, I know quite a few parents who have tried very hard at the beginning and who it hasn't worked for long term.
I haven't given up yet.
Good.
Bemi, I'm actually trying. I think I'm going to start making some materials just because it just doesn't exist. And for Wemi speaks a bigger language than I speak. And so there's actually more resources.
Speakers, yeah.
She has more of a community in London. That doesn't exist for me because my tribe is a lot smaller. I don't know any other Ngala people around, unfortunately. So I'm going to have to be more conscious about how I do. And I think I'm going to have to teach them the way they would learn it at school, which is to, you know, print out flashcards and take a real good hour in the day and say, okay, this is what we're going to do right now. Just have to be a little bit more...
It's very difficult, especially when it's a minority language and like it's not a lot of people are speaking it, but you have to be proactive. You have to be proactive about it, really.
So, Bimi, tell me about that. You set up Culture Tree and actually you ever ended up with... You started off by just putting these resources onto YouTube.
Yeah.
What happened after that?
After that, it went on TV. It was on the channel on Sky TV. And then I had a lot of requests from parents who wanted me to do classes. So we started doing classes, face-to-face classes. We now have online classes.
And were these were the adults learning as well? well as the kids.
Yeah, yeah. So the adults wanted to learn as well as their kids. So we do adult classes for young, like I said, second generation between the age of 20 upwards. We have parents who come to our toddler classes with their kids. And we have a centre in Peckham as well, Culture Tree Centre, where we do the classes and we do arts and crafts. It's not just about language, it's about the culture as well, as I said. So, yeah, we do a lot of, and we do Skype classes because there's a lot of demand from international, like all around the world, really, globally.
And are these quite a lot of people who didn't learn to speak their own language when they were growing up and are now kind of regretting that they didn't?
Yes, yes. As you said, our parents, when they emigrated, you know, when you're in a different country, you just want to assimilate and you want to, you know, so they were advised, as you said, not to speak two languages because they might speak later or they might have a, you know, Nigerian accent. So a lot of people didn't do that. But this generation have realised that actually, no, there is an advantage to being bilingual or multilingual. So a lot of people are making the effort to teach their kids now.
Because the kind of cultural heritage and identity issues come when you go back to Nigeria, but then find that you actually can't communicate with maybe people, wider friends and family.
Yeah, there is an identity issue as well, and it's a deeper issue here, especially here in London, where, you know, we have a lot of young people who don't feel like they belong. They're not quite British and they're not quite Nigerian because they don't speak the language, and they're not quite British because they feel like they're obviously at home, they're not in the way that we, the food we eat, the way you talk to your parents, the things that we do. So there is an identity issue there, and I think that can be solved with just having more done. I think it's a personal thing for parents, but also maybe the government can encourage it a little bit more as well, especially in schools.
Mercy, you brought this up on your podcast Parentland, and you got a huge response to it, I know, and not just from Nigerian families, but from people all over the world, and actually as well, you know, from a lot of people who are living in England. What were some of the concerns that they brought up when they were trying to teach their kids to be multilingual?
Well, it was always this issue of getting them to have other people that they speak with and not just the parents at home. So it's things like having access to classes, materials online, books. It's always very challenging, especially for minority languages. I think it's easier with languages like French or maybe Spanish.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we've had an email here from Anika who says that it's really simple. I don't know if it is really simple or not, but they say just get one partner to speak one language and the other one to speak English. And their son is fluent in Greek with no effort. So that's always good when I haven't had to make an effort. But I do think that that's another something else that we've heard quite a lot, that one parent should only speak one language.
There is
that a good idea, Bimi?
No, some people do practice that. It's called OPOL, one person, one language. And there's a lot of different methods that you could use, and that is one of them. But then that presumes that parent is fluent in that language. What we find with non-European languages or people who are from the African descent is that we didn't actually learn the language because we were born here in England, so we only learn English growing up. So you can't teach something that you don't know yourself, really.
Right.
Our challenge is different.
I just like to say that even when you were born in Nigeria, you still had that challenge. I have lots of cousins who grew up in the cities like Lagos or Abuja who don't speak the languages just because they weren't immersed as much as us. And, you know, because, for example, in Nigeria, the lingua franca, the official language is English. Most people will just speak English because that's the way you communicate with the wider community.
A lot of languages in Nigeria.
There's so many,
there's
500 different dialects or more. Yeah. So how do you communicate?
Well, Mercy Haruna from the Parentland podcast and Bimi Isimi from Culture Tree, thank you both very much indeed for joining us. We had lots more thoughts from you on the subject. Coriander emailed us to say, to add to this discussion, my son was born and brought up in Spain until he was 5. I'm English and my husband's French, so he had 3 languages. He struggled hugely and never fully got to grips with any of the languages until we moved to the UK, where his English shot up and he promptly lost almost all of his French and Spanish within 2 months. So it's just not quite as easy for some people as it is for others. It did turn out that he was dyslexic and he did have slow processing, which massively impacts our ability to learn languages. She also says there were no resources available on multilingualism, only bilingualism, and find it a real struggle. Now, Augusta has emailed to say that I am Icelandic and I've lived in the UK for 16 years. I'm married to a British man and I've got 2 children. I've really struggled to keep the Icelandic alive, and I do have people, family and friends in Iceland, and they've been very judgmental, and this has caused me tremendous guilt. And Molly has emailed to say, my father was a Welsh speaker, my mother wasn't. I was brought up in Liverpool, I married a Scot, and I've lived in Scotland for many years. I met my only remaining Welsh-speaking cousin yesterday, and I feel so sad and angry that my parents did not bring me, my brother and my sister up to speak Welsh as well as English. It's interesting, this subject really does bring up a lot of feelings and emotions, as well as some tips on how to try and bring your children up with more than one language.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.